Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated July 7, 2017. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sestile Tekle and is a joint podcast project created and run by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, here we are again, another week, and another week with me on my own. Lord Baldrith is still away on his wonderful family holiday, so I hope he's having an awesome time and catching up and chilling out and generally enjoying not working. It's always a great time. So wherever you are, Lord Baldrith, I hope you're having a blast. But in the meantime, I will do my best to keep the ship running and keep you informed about all the news and events of the week. I've managed to get a bit of time in game this week and yes, managed to improve my character just a little bit more, getting infinitesimally closer to another GM. So that's always exciting and it's always something to look forward to when your character gets just that little bit stronger and you can wade through and mow down some stronger mobs, which is really nice. And the beauty of it is, as you get gradually stronger, you can kill people more efficiently. So you don't have to expend as much effort, whether it be by sword or arrow or pole arm or even wand or whatever you're using. You can, amazingly, if you're having a good day, knock people down with a few shots, which means you're not spending so much in terms of skills, but you're still gaining the skill points from defeating the mobs. So suddenly and miraculously, your XP pool starts to go up considerably, even if you're trying to train fairly thirsty skills like innates. So it's all good and it's worthwhile pursuing. Alright, we have a new update. Update number 235. We have new elves, we have scene polish, shroud at RTX, there's a free trial, telephone results, your questions are answered, we have a new flash sale, contest winners, community events, and even more. So, good stuff in the news this week. First item up, we have new elves and elven outfits. And they do look rather gorgeous. As they say, as we've been working on the paths of truth and courage, we've been spending more time in areas with elves. Says we have been seeing a lot more elves around in the game. And they say this has highlighted the need for more visual variations in the elves, including the need for female elves. Fletcher's been hard at work creating these new outfits, as well as female faces and bodies for the elves. These will appear in Release 44, starting in the Blood River outskirts, so if anyone wants to go and see them, that's where they'll be. And they will propagate to other scenes over the next several releases. So that's where they're going to be first, and it'll be great to go and see them. And this is the post that Fletcher, aka Skullmuncher34, put in the Dev Plus forum. He says, "Hey all, so as you may have heard, we've been working to expand the variations of enemies in the game. One notable inclusion is that of female elves to go alongside male ones. Now I wonder if we're going to have a little bit of trouble with that, because there might be a few people in the community who are very chivalrous, who don't really like the idea of fighting the ladies. Or maybe that's not going to bother us. But we are going to have female elves to fight." All right. So, if that is a problem for anybody, they might have to wrestle with their conscience. Another ethical dilemma to deal with. You can either mow down the ladies along with all the male warriors, or decide to run away. Okay. He says, "In addition to creating new female elf NPCs, it's also given us an opportunity to populate the game with more equipment. Female elven armors will soon be available in-game as well. Oh, that's good. It includes female elven mage, female elven armor, and female elven fighter. I'll be posting updates to this thread with screenshots and other media in the next few weeks, so stay tuned. And we have a few screenshots here, and I have to say they do look rather good. I think the facial features look pretty impressive, and the armor looks awesome too. Now, if that armor eventually becomes available to all of us, that would be really great. So we have here illustrated a female elven fighter, a male elven fighter. It looks like they're wearing pretty heavy plate armor, which is, pretty rough stuff, very nice. Or we have archers, the female archer. Yeah, very nice. And a female elven mage. Ouch. Well, they will be fairly easy to recognize because of their red outfits. And I don't know if anybody else has this experience, but if you're set upon by a number of mobs, it's usually the mages who do the most damage. They are casting fireballs, they're casting fire arrows, they are teleporting around from place to place, and they're casting root, and I don't know what else they're casting, but the mages are vicious as far as I'm concerned. And it's almost worth ignoring everybody else and trying to take them out first, because they are evil. But the only upside of it is they're usually a little bit easier to take out. They're not quite as tough as the warriors or the archers. So, yeah, the mages, if you see an elven mage, they'll be wearing this fancy red top and red boots. Take them out quick, because they are nasty. Alright, so that's something to look out for. That'll be happening next release, and first up it'll be happening in the Blood River outskirts. So, well worth taking the trip to go and check them out. Right, next item. We have Boreas, the Titan of Truth. Each Titan has been getting unique visuals. And for Release 44, the final Titan, Boreas, the Titan of Truth, is getting his turn. And they say here, yes, his fate, however, was perhaps the darkest and saddest of all of them, though. And yeah, I was a bit sad about all of this, too. But we have an excerpt here from a post by Kevin Wells, aka Ugly Fist. He says, I just wanted to put up some screenshots, of what Boreas looks like during the making of, like I did with Arabella. I will likely be making further edits to finish polish on Boreas before it's over, but this is how he's looking so far. So, like with Arabella, the same way he did, he's got here a turnaround of the very first low poly blocked in model. And here the poly count is about 8,000. And yeah, you can see the basic shape. And it's a bit blocky. Like a very, very low resolution picture. But you can see what's happening and it's starting to take shape. So yeah, it looks pretty good already. And then he got all the pieces into ZBrush as fast as he could for the fun stuff. And here it is with the high poly details. And from about 8,000 polys, you've gone to 25 million. So yes, there is more than a bit of difference. It's like going from very, very low resolution to an incredibly high resolution. And that looks pretty awesome. And he says then, I'll bake textures from the high poly to the low poly mesh, just like with Arabella. I tried to replicate the turnaround in-game. So, this is Boreas, textured and rigged and in-game. Very, very nice. Yeah, he looks, pretty old and pretty frail. Oh dear. And he says, as soon as I get him all wrapped up, I'll post him on Sketchfab as usual to show him off in 3D. Also, and this is what I'm waiting on. I'm really excited to hear this. The story of Boreas and bit of a spoiler. For those who haven't gone that far in the story yet, and why he's a dead guy has become one of my favourite parts of the story. Yeah, that is a bit of a downer and a bit of a spoiler for those who haven't done that part of the story yet, the journey of truth. When you get to the end of the journey, you're looking for Boreas, but he is unfortunately not alive. And I don't know why he's not alive, but evidently this is going to be revealed, and that'll be a fascinating part of the lore. So it could be part of the dialogue, it could be part of the story that's revealed to you along this quest, and even though a lot of us have already sort of battled our way through the journey of truth, it'll be well worth doing it again, because we may find out what happened to this poor guy. And who knows, there might be a chance of his resurrection. That would be awesome. Okay, but he says, I'll give away a few details soon in future updates to this post. So let's hope we get some more of this story, because that's going to be fascinating to follow. All right, moving right along, we have a Xanaford scene polish. As we're focusing on the path of truth, we're spending time to not only polish the story elements, that is the dialogue, the NPC names and the quests, etc. We're also updating visuals along the path as needed. For Release 44, it includes polishing the visuals for three of the towns you will visit along the path of truth, namely Airy, Virtus and Xanaford. Each of these towns is getting updated to include more colour, especially blue, which is the colour of truth. Well, I did not know that. Alrighty. So, yeah, if you see blue stuff around, that is aligned to the colour of truth. We have more visuals related to truth. So we've got books, we've got libraries, we are going to have statues of the Titan of Truth, etc. and general polish, which includes the terrain and foliage, etc. And Chris Wolf, aka Seawolf, is sharing a few screenshots of some of the updates he's made to Xanaford. Improvements have been made to the terrain, especially long trails, to make it feel more realistic. All of the rocks in the scene have been replaced with ones of better quality. So, yeah, it's just the detail and the texture and the overall visual appearance. It looks so much deeper and nicer and more detailed. That is fantastic. And when they're going back, circling back and doing all this polishing and updating of individual scenes, you sort of get the feeling that release can't be too far away. So that's really encouraging to see. Another screenshot here. Both the upper and the lower waterfalls have been replaced with ones which closely resemble other waterfalls in other updated scenes. And that looks like a really magnificent waterfall now. It is just lovely. The town centre has a few additional structures to reinforce Xanaford's ancient history as a place of learning. So yeah, we will see more things in the centre of town which are more relevant. Very nice. And the central bonfire now has a colonnade surrounding it, along with canvas tarps that provide shade. So, yeah, you can sit there, have a bit of a picnic, have an ale while you're resting from your journey. This reliquarium, okay, it's a new addition to the town centre. New as in it's old, but it's new, if that makes sense. The townsfolk of Xanaford have taken it upon themselves to restore this crumbling library to working order. Fans of the fantasy books should stop by here to check out the various oddities on display, or to catch up on some reading. Yeah, and that is a beautiful rendition of a really, really old building that's in the process of restoration. Yeah, it sort of looks like it's half finished. It's a bit crumbling and it has scaffolding all around it. So, yeah, it's a very, very nice rendition. That is great. Many of the bridges leading to the town centre are built on the ruins of what was here before. Oh, well, that is a common thread in all of civilization, isn't it? People settle in a place, they build a town, it becomes a thriving residential and commercial and cultural centre. Over the passage of centuries, it might fall into disuse or it might be raided and sacked by enemies, and then there's nobody living there anymore, and then nature takes over, the desert or the jungle move in, it's all overgrown, the ground level gradually rises. Before you know it, the town's completely buried. And then somebody else comes along and they want to build a town in that area, so build on top. Why not? And that's why you find in so many, many cities in Europe, you dig down a few feet or a few meters, a few yards, and what do you find? You find ancient ruins. Ah, great. Which is very exciting. And on a recent trip we took through Rome and through one or two other places, yes, the good news is they build underground railways, underground metros, which really boost transport and communication in the city and make life a whole lot easier. The bad news is when they're trying to dig the tunnels, they keep on coming across artifacts, which might be hundreds or thousands of years old. So they have to stop what they're doing, carefully remove this artifact, decide whether it's valuable or whether it's worth keeping, and if it is, you store it carefully in some place where people can view it. It makes the construction time a whole lot longer and a whole lot more expensive. But that's the price you pay for living on top of somebody else or where somebody else was living so many hundred or thousand years ago. Okay. So those are the screenshots, and it's an amazing job what they're doing to these towns. Get out, have a look, and see what they've done. Right, next item, Shroud at RTX 2017 this weekend, July 7 to 9, which really it's happening as we speak. We're incredibly excited to announce that we have returned to Rooster Teeth Expo this weekend, July 7 to 9. Come and find us in booth 323 at the Austin Convention Centre, where you can play the game, you can get a challenge coin, and meet various members of the development team, including Richard, Lord British, Garriott, Star, Dark Star Long, and others. So, well, anybody who's in the area, who can make it to the area, well worthwhile going along. All of the rest of us can just sit and be jealous. We go back a long way with Rooster Teeth. Richard actually made the very first mention of Shroud of the Avatar on their show before the Kickstarter. We then attended RTX that year, that was in 2013. Would you believe that this has been going 4 years now? That's a pretty impressive feat. From the very first mention of the possibility or the germ of an idea for another game by Richard Garriott, and then the Kickstarter, then the first whisper of development, we had release one, which was a chicken in a room and an avatar who could actually walk around. We all thought that was pretty good. Now we have release number 43, which is a whole interactive world where we can almost go and do anything. It's come an awful long way since then. Okay, but in that year, in 2013, they gave a presentation and a live demo of release one. Well, yes, there wasn't much to demonstrate, but as I said, it's come a long way. The next year, we returned to the show, and this time we had a corner booth on the show floor with crowds of people moving through our space each day. So they closed by saying, "Hope you see you at this weekend." Well, that would be lovely. As I say, if anybody is in the area or can be in the area, absolutely drop in and say hello to them. Right, next item, the Seed Invest updates. They have new perks, they have new perk levels and perk images. Right, now, as you know, we've been running an equity crowdfunding campaign through Seed Invest. That was started only a few weeks ago, and already we're seeing tremendous support. That is really encouraging, isn't it? That people are getting behind this initiative and helping them to transition from being developers to developers and publishers. They've got to get this game out to the public, and that is a whole different ball game from just sitting there in a little studio and making it. So yeah, they sort of need the capital to do that. Right, and they say, "We're excited to be updating you today on several new additions to the campaign. New perks were listed, images for the perks were added, entirely new perk tiers for more investing options, as well as key campaign details for interested future investors." Now, due to regulations on how these campaigns work, we're not allowed to list equity crowdfunding campaign tombstone details like the actual perks in this update. That's just some sort of regulation. You are not permitted to do that. You're not permitted to give all the details in a general update like this. If you'd like to see them, all of this stuff, that's absolutely fine. You just need to visit the Seed Invest website, which is, here we are, https://www.seedinvest.com/portalarium/series.b. And that's it. So go visit that. You'll see all of these new nifty things and all the opportunities that await you if you have a few spare coins lying around and you would like to invest in this exciting adventure. Okay, and they say many of you have already made a reservation, thanks, but some of you have yet to be converted to actual investment. So please, another reminder, if you've made a reservation, they would love you to convert it to an actual investment. And to convert, well, go to the Seed Invest website, right, log into your account, and from there you'll be able to complete it. And you can also go to this link to become an investor. And finally they close by saying, "Thank you, avatars from Lord British and the Portalarium team." So they would love to hear from you. And if you want to be a part of this exciting adventure and help this game to really get off the ground to the general public, be in it. Alrighty. Now, as most of you are aware, they've just concluded the Lord British's Birthday Bash Telethon, which was an outstanding success. It was almost unbelievable. They said, "We achieved lots of our stretch goal rewards." I think they actually achieved all of them and more. A heartfelt thank you from the entire dev team to all of you, our backers, that have contributed to the development of funding of Shroud of the Avatar. Thursday's telethon was yet another example of your amazing support and contributions. The total, as of 9 p.m. Central, July 6th, was an amazing $100,000. And that is almost unbelievable. I mean, that is what you would expect on a good day from a 12-hour telethon. And this was a 6-hour telethon. So it almost seems like everybody saved up all of their spare cash and everything they wanted to invest in, and throw in the fact that it was Lord British's birthday, they actually doubled the intake rate, which was brilliant. The only thing that makes me a little sad is that combination of sleeping, because it started in the wee hours of the morning, my time, and then getting up and having to go to work, I missed the whole telethon, which was pretty sad. I may be able to, I will be able to watch it later, because they do archive it on Twitch and YouTube, so I'll catch the essentials of it. I did manage very briefly and surreptitiously between cases to log in and purchase one or two things, so it's all good. I can't say I did very much towards the total, but you just try and jump in where and when you can. But look at what they achieved. $100,000, which is absolutely awesome. And it means that anybody who made a $5 purchase or more will get silver fireworks. Nice. You get a flower wand trick. You can make a magic wand turn into a flower bouquet. Isn't that nice? You will get a Lord British helmet with a silver serpent. It includes a light source. So, much more flash than a miner's helmet. You can wear this when you're out mining, and it has a light source so you can actually see what you're trying to mine. That's brilliant. There is a Lord British throne, which is a chair with an LB symbol on it. Very nice. And there's a tuxedo with tails. Just the thing for going to all these parties that have been happening lately. And with two magic emotes, you can do a bird trick, making a bird fly out of a top hat, and an endless cloth trick. You can pull a long string of coloured cloths from your mouth. Okay, this I have to see. It'll be fantastic to see that in game. That'll be terrific. There is a Lord British version of the moon dial, and that is available to everybody who contributed. And not only that, they went over the top. And for $100,000, there is a magical pet broom. Now, who doesn't need a magical pet broom to keep your house tidy all day? You can just set the thing going and tell it to clean up for you, and it will automatically do it. That is fantastic. So I think that's a really brilliant idea. We had deep dives, answered questions, danced, sang, did shots, spun the Wheel of Fortune and Doom, had flash sales and handed out tons of prizes. All right. And if you didn't get your question answered, do not panic. Fret not. Star, with the help from the rest of the team, will answer all the questions that we didn't have time to answer during the telethon and post them in the forums next week. So, yeah, in some ways that's almost better, because if you weren't online when they answered your question, you might think, well, did they get to mine or didn't they? But if it's there in print, you can read the answer. So, yeah, that's good. Okay. And immediately following this, they say, the Summer Telethon 2017 missed questions answered. Right, after the Summer Telethon, which was a little while ago, would you believe they had 60 plus pages of questions? Sort of shows how active the community is and how involved we are. So that's good. It's bad because it's so much work for them. But they believe in providing feedback. They believe in being answerable to their backers, which is us. So they've got onto it. They say, unfortunately, we didn't get them answered immediately like we do normally, because Darkstar was still ill around the time of the telethon. However, with assistance from the team, we finally were able to get to these questions, and we posted them to the forums on July 4th in celebration of Lord British's birthday. So there we are. All you have to do is go back to the forum. You will find the thread there, and it's probably a fairly substantial thread. But all the questions that were not able to be answered during the summer telethon, from a couple of weeks or so ago, you will find them there. Fantastic. Excellent. And as he says, here are the questions which we didn't have time to get to. I tried my best to answer these with help from the rest of the team, but some we just don't have details yet to provide. I probably won't have time to do any follow-ups to these. The community did a great job of assisting us this telethon to make sure we didn't miss a single question. However, This resulted in a record 50-plus pages of questions, so please forgive both the brevity of some of my answers and the fact that it has taken us weeks to answer, not to mention I was sick during the telethon. Also, please note, I deleted a bunch of duplicated questions and also deleted any questions that we answered with the Q3 post or with the release of R43. So, yeah, short. If they were duplicated, fine. Delete those. If you will find the answers anyway in the quarter three update, have a look there. Or with the release of R43, if it's answered there, then that will be the answer. And he also deleted questions that were super open-ended or were super vague. There you go. So there are just a few questions that they've put here just to illustrate what they've been trying to do. Grimbone says, when will we see more two-handed bludgeon weapons and patterns in-game? More variety, as other weapons have. And the answer is, we'll definitely get more variety of weapons and patterns in the game over time. The plan is to make sure there's an equal representation across all weapon types. Teddy Mitt asks, can we approve more restricted beasts that are not tameable and higher levels to be tameable, such as ghost scorpions? And FX Guy says, are there any new monsters in the works that we don't know about yet? Well, the answer is we're definitely going to be adding more creatures to the game, as well as expanding the number of creatures that can be tamed. Well, there's something good to look forward to. I wonder if you could tame a ghost scorpion and have it running around behind you. That would be a formidable pet, wouldn't it? Okay, Grave Dragon says, when are we going to see more love for plate armor customizations? More plate armor patterns, different colored armor enamels, and plate armor artifacts. Well, the answer there is quarter three priorities for character art team are Norgard clothing, which will mostly be light armor, and then new creatures. That means any heavy armor work will probably be in quarter four. So yes, it's coming, but it's down the track. So all these questions, and there's a whole lot more, and there's a little link there where you can read more. So there's a whole lot more questions that have been answered. So if you're interested in deep diving into that, go and have a look in that link on the forum and find the answers to everything you ever wanted to know. All right. Shroud in the news. We have the Spanish AIAS Honorary Award, Game Reactor, and the Dean Beat. It continues to be quite an exciting time for us and the press. The combination of our Seed Invest campaign, the launch of Release 43, the Quarter 3 schedule, Richard at Game Lab and RTX has all generated quite a lot of attention. Here are a few of the best highlights. Firstly, there's the Spanish AIAS Honorary Award. While Richard was at the Game Lab show in Barcelona, the Spanish Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences bestowed upon him their honorary award for a lifetime of innovation in gaming. He also did a Q&A session, as well as a masterclass in IP development during GameLab, who posted pictures of the various events to Flickr. And Ivan Fernandez Lobo, who's the founder and chairman of GameLab Barcelona, and the former president of the Spanish Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, said in a statement, "The British-American designer and entrepreneur is truly a game-changer for the medium and a source of inspiration for anyone with a creative soul, even beyond the industry limits." And next point is with Game Reactor. Bengt Lemney, oh, I love these complicated names, interviewed Richard Garriott during the Game Lab show in Barcelona for Game Reactor for an article entitled "Lord British, Shroud of the Avatar is all about virtue test." We sat down with Honor Award recipient Lord British Garriott at Game Lab to talk about his long career, his new game Shroud of the Avatar, space adventures, and more. Garriott was invited to speak about creating and owning IPs at the event, and had this to say about the importance of IP to game developers. To me, if you think about what makes games sell, and we're all here to make games, and we sell them, or we don't live to make the next game, that usually takes a combination of great mechanics, which I think all games need, compelling audio and visual, which is why somebody looks at the game in the first place. But in my mind, the third pillar is intellectual property. And of those three, it's the only one that could be protected. It's the only one that lasts. So your intellectual property of a game is, I guess, incredibly important. And if you've designed something, if you've designed characters, names, lore, a continent, a town, people, a story, you want to protect that because that is your intellectual property. And that really is what makes the game. Okay, the Dean Beat. During Game Lab, Dean Takahashi over at the Dean Beat interviewed several game leaders, including our very own Richard Garrett, on the topic of why making great games takes time. And the blurb here is, Richard Garrett, whose career of making games has spanned almost 40 years, also said in an on-stage interview with me at Game Lab that making a great game takes time. The only game that he delivered on time in his career was Ultima 5, would you believe that, when he was working at Origin, which was later sold to Electronic Arts with his brother Robert. They delivered that game on time because they were under the most pressure. Garrett had made a big bet on Apple's hardware just when the IBM PC and its clones started to win market share. The team had to reset its focus on the PC, and the Garretts had to take out big personal loans just to stretch their money out to finish the game. They had to finish it on time, or they were going to go out of business. And they made their deadlines. Well, that was a really good thing. I'm sure we're all very happy to hear that, because Ultima 5 was also an amazing game. Very well written, very well thought out, and with a wonderful storyline. So, yes, I remember reading Lord British's book, and he did detail that story, that when they were developing Ultima 5, they had focused their work up until this point on the Apple platform, and they thought, yeah, Apple is ideal, it's the ideal platform for gaming, this IBM nonsense is never going to take off. And as he said, as he admitted in the book, they could not have been more wrong. We all know the history. IBM blossomed and became a gigantic company, really taking over the personal computing space. Although, I have to say, Apple has not gone away. It still has a significant market share, and it's still loved by many of its devotees. But, you know, the big player in town is now the PC. So they had to frantically turn around and revise all the coding to make the game PC compatible. And that would have been no end of a challenge. But they got it done, and Ultima 5 came out, and the rest is history. So that's awesome. Okay, next item. The free trial 4 is now live. And if you see anybody running around in the game with visitor stuck over the heads, you know that they are trying out the game. So welcome them. Show them around. Answer any questions they might have. And yeah, just show them a little bit of hospitality and friendship. And you never know, they might decide to stay, because that would be wonderful. Okay, this trial test, it's number 4, runs from July 3rd through to the 26th. It's the longest they've ever done. They want to gather even more data about uptake, drop-off, conversions, etc. And it really helps them to improve the new user experience and the free trial system. It allows you to play the entire game in any of the online modes, with a few key differences. Basically, the short story is you can't do anything that would permanently impact the state of the game, like buying property or trading with players or creating ransom or being ransomed or stuff like that. Because, again, the bottom line is a number of people will come online, they will decide to play for free for the month, and then think, yeah, okay, that's fine, but it's not quite what I'm looking for. So unless they continue with a paid account, their character will just be deleted. And the developers need to ensure that if that happens, it doesn't impact the rest of the game. So you can't buy property and you can't do a number of things, but those restrictions being said, you can do almost anything else and you can really enjoy the game. So if you know anybody who wants to give it a try, it's free to try for the rest of the month. So that's great. Alrighty, there is another weekend flash sale happening, would you believe? And the short story is, if you're looking for a property, a lot deed, a home, or even player-owned town upgrades, they are all on sale this weekend. And there are far too many to list, and I know you don't want me to drone through all of them, so let me just say that almost any kind of property that you wish to have, the only restriction seems to be that they are player-owned town properties. So not place anywhere properties, but if you want to purchase a property that can be placed in a player-owned town, go for it. Town, city, hamlet, village, crossroads village, whatever. Metropolis, you can get it. They're all 20% off this weekend. Basements of almost every variety. Homes of almost every variety. Seriously, there's a lot of homes available. So have a look, visit the add-on store, and if you're in the market for property, this weekend is a good time to buy. Fantastic. Okay. Next item is the Comic-Con panels with Richard Garriott and Star Long. Are you attending the San Diego Comic-Con this coming July 20 to 23? Well, if you are, you'll be able to see Richard Garriott and Star Long, because they'll be there. Richard has two panels, one talking about his adventures in space, the other one is with Star Long about Shroud of the Avatar. As you would expect, the first panel is entitled Explore Create, and he's talking all about his life from gaming pioneer to space adventurer. He authored the Ultima series and actually coined the term Avatar. In 2008, he became the first American second-generation astronaut when he flew to the International Space Station. And you can learn more about all of this from his book, Explore Create. And the Shroud of the Avatar panel, well, he and Star will be discussing their latest venture, Shroud of the Avatar. It is currently the second highest crowdfunded video game of all time. And you can learn how they've developed the game while honing cutting-edge crowdfunding techniques. Brilliant. Now, the panel times and locations haven't yet been announced, but if you keep on the Comic-Con website, which there's a link to there in the news release, you'll be able to see what and when and where it's all happening. Fantastic. Okay, now another contest. You will recall that they very recently had a Rock Me Avataris contest, and people were invited to put on a display in their property of party themes. And there was an enormous number of entries, which were really amazing. People went to such a lot of trouble. I applaud every one of them. They were all awesome. And they say, congratulations to the following winners of this month's contest. Over the last couple of weeks and leading up to Lord British's telethon event, The goal for the contest was to design a party scene, and we got some amazing submissions too. And check them out below. So they've put a few screenshots in. The first place winner, and hearty congratulations and big kudos, goes to Datendruck. I hope I pronounced that halfway correctly. That looks like a pretty amazing scene there. So very well done, sir. Second place winner goes to the Phoenix Republic Guild, and that is a brilliant looking scene as well, with Happy Birthday Lord British spelt out in the foreground. I'm not quite sure what they used there, but it is incredibly well done on the tiled floor. The third place winner was Minerva. Congratulations, Minerva. That is an amazing scene as well, with the Lord British birthday cake in the background. Fantastic. And honourable mentions to Rudyard and Licemeat. And if you want to see all of the submissions that were sent in, there is a link there to the forum thread. You can work through them all and just find out for yourself how amazing and creative this community is. Right, there's a community live stream here exploring release 43. We had multiple developers on this community live stream talking about release 43 and all the content that went into the game for it. So this will be a real exciting and interesting interactive tour of the current release. A lot of different developers talking about what they've done, what their input is, and how things are different in release 43. Little link to it there, so have a look at it at your leisure and learn more about what they've done and maybe what their plans for the future are. Alright, there's an upcoming events calendar. Well, a lot of things coming up in the future. As we've mentioned, the free trial test number 4 is on now up until July 26. From July 7 till 9, there's RTX 2017. July 20 to 23, there's the Comic Con panels. July 27 is release 44. As we just said, there's even more exciting and interesting stuff coming in release 44. August 10 to 14 is SyndCon in Austin. August 31 is release 45. September 1 to 4 is DragonCon. September 22 to 23 is the Ultima Online 20th Anniversary Party. September 28 is Release 46. October 13 to 15 is SOTACON in Austin. And October 26 is Release 47. And if you're ever wondering about what to do or what things the community is doing, just visit the community calendar. There is a link there in the news release. You can see the great lineup of activities. There's also a release event thread in the forum, and people will post details there of any upcoming event. So you don't need to miss out on anything. There's always something exciting, and there's something always hopping in this community. Brilliant. Okay, and here's the community event of the week that's being featured. It's the Isla de Muerta opening day and birthday bash. Saturday the 8th of July will see me, that's Liz the Wiz, getting officially older. Oh dear, I didn't think ladies ever admitted that. But good on you, Liz the Wiz, that's fantastic. Okay, and as a result, I would like you to invite you all to come to Isla de Muerta. You can come by boat from central Brittany. First pier, the island boatman will know the way. Or the Brittany Estates blacksmith just inside the gates always keeps a balloon there. So that's a couple of ways you can get to Isla de Muerta. The starting time is noon central, which is 6 p.m. UK time, although I'll likely be around quite a bit before. I shall also be streaming the event on Twitch. And there's the little link there. The event will also herald the official opening to visitors of the island. We have plenty of space for new residents, with a ton of free land if you wish to book a spot. Isn't that great? So, go out and check Isla de Muerta. enjoy them, celebrating their birthday bash. That's an awesome birthday cake they've got in the screenshot. So, yeah, help them have a huge party. Now, community resources, players helping players. Well, as we always say, the new player welcome forum and the player created resources forum, they've got the best stuff. If you're a new player, if you don't know where to go or what to do, there are links there that have a ton of material to explain this confusing game to you. And also they have links to people who will help and people who will help answer all your questions. So those two links, and there's also the community resources page for a complete listing of all things community. Three links there that will really answer all your questions. Okay, and this week the recommended projects to back, they are returning to SotaCon in Austin. It's a ground zero for interaction with the developers. Your ideas and input are on the front lines. That would be an awesome experience to be able to go there, have round table discussions with the devs, and thrash out a few propositions and ideas, and say, well, how would it be if we did such and such, or if we added this type of mob, or if we gave people an extra skill or an extra ability, or refined this a little bit, or tweaked that a little bit. And you never know, you might see some of your ideas to make their way into the game. That's what's happened so far. A lot of people have come up with a lot of really good ideas, and the developers have listened and they say, yeah, great idea, good, let's do it. And as a result, it's in the game. And so if you want to go, it's there. And it's in Austin in October. If you can get there, if you wish to go, get into it and meet the devs and take your place in history and be a part of the development of this awesome game. Finally, and we hope not too much longer, backer shipping addresses. Yeah, they will be sending physical goodies soon, we hope. Just make sure your address is in your account profile page so they know where to send it to. And that is absolutely all I'm saying about that this week. Alrighty. So that is the news of the week. A lot of good stuff this week. Sorry, it's a little bit shorter this week because I don't have my faithful partner in crime to carry on with a lot of chit-chat and back-chat and nonsense and joking and tomfoolery with. But I hope it's been reasonably easy to listen to and reasonably informative. So all I can do now is to wish you a great week, and I hope you're enjoying the game as much as I am, or even more, and hope you get even more time to play it. That's important. And exploring all the new content and all the new stuff they're putting into it. I noticed as I logged on this morning, or as I fired up the computer, there is yet another patch downloading. So they haven't stopped trying to bed everything down properly to make sure everything works and to make sure the game experience is as good as possible. So get into it, enjoy the game this week, and I hope you're having a great time. So I'll take us out. The wonderful background music for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Tackle for the technical work on the newscast. A reminder, please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this newscast, podcasts, music and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on Avatars Radio. This is Asclepius signing off until next week with Echoes from the Caverns.